I'm preparing to go to Edenvale tomorrow. We have a attunement gathering. 25 people are currently planning on joining us. And the theme of it for the summer, this summer retreat time is love in, love out. And I think that there is a discipline and a muscle to be developed with regards to the understanding of what that means. And Jerry and Gary have touched somewhat on it. Our orientation determines what's coming in, and then our orientation also decides what's coming out. Are we paying attention? I really loved the words in your mythic story, Courtney, about there is no, you said, like, there's no greater love. There is this unbelievable source of love that we are not only animated by, but we are a servant to if we are wise. And if we are going to be a servant to it, the idea of being a priest or a priestess has to be in the universal reality. Because love doesn't say, go be this. It says, be me. Be me in the reality of your life. And there were some words, and Karen wrote her response to the paper, these three phrases that help her get centered. I think that one of them was, what would you have me do? What would you have me say? What would you have me think? Were those the three?
Where would you have me go?
Where would you have me go? Asking questions to the source of love as opposed to what do I feel like doing, what do I really want, is a whole different orientation and a sense of direction. This great source of love that Courtney spoke about in her mythic story is the animating force of all of us, whether or not we're admitting it and whether or not we're serving it. It's still true. One of the things Barb Duff was, we had a meeting today about what we're going to, the flow of how we're going to do the weekend. And she said, I think it would be really important if we're going to talk about love in, love out, that people go on a walk and let love out to nature as opposed to soaking it up for their own pleasure and nourishment. Like, who is offering back into the world the love that is pouring into them? Or are we constantly looking for sources other than the divine source that is natural to fulfill us and to make us feel happy and like we belong? I know on Friday when we were preparing for service, David was speaking about Beck, first name Don? Don Beck's words about that he spoke at the Evolutionary Leaders Conference. Several of you know him. I don't personally know him. But he was talking about looking at the fact that we live in a society where progressivism is considered God to some people. And there is this thing of comparison and judgment and hierarchy that we've set up in our culture. Like, I'm more spiritual than you. Or I'm more advanced than you. There are ways in which nobody wins in that culture. I'm more feminine than you, I'm more sexy than you, well, that is true. <There's> no. Only when I put my hand on my hip. Whatever words we use, if we're trying to progress into a culture where we win, we lose. And we are trying to win by using a culture as a measuring stick that is dying. And it is not allowing forms that would give new life, new energy, new possibility, space. I'm starved for the new. I, like Barbara, I am saying yes to the genius that's trying to come through me, knowing full well the genius that has been in me is tired and sorry. Not sorry like apologetic, but it's a sorry state of affairs. If I think that it's going to be the source of my happiness, my joy, my creativity. So in some ways, what's happening at this attunement gathering is something David's been speaking about. What's constant and what's coming, what's new. And in looking at the program David did up there in April, it was genius. I mean, it was genius how he got people to a holy place based on the ways in which he knows how to do that. And if we're foolish enough not to acknowledge that something new is coming through him that could be utilized, doesn't mean we have to do the exact same thing, but look at the patterns and how they take people where you want them to go. So, you know, I just said to the rest of the people on the committee, I said, why don't we just use that program and then interject on the theme that we're on and on the ways in which we would do it, but let's not mess with something that got people, I don't know if you remember the service, I think it was called The Highest Love, where I spoke, Barb Duff spoke, Carol Robertson spoke, and we were talking about the seven spirits because it was the conclusion of that time. And something magical was happening because of what led up to it. And I think what happened for the people at Edenvale was far more potent because they were in that process. But there, as David and I met yesterday talking about how to make an attunement gathering as powerful as possible, and the realization that if you're stuck on technique and the physical, you ain't going anywhere. If you're not open to the heart experience of what attunement is about, really, you're like, who cares? All right, everybody, let's do attunement. We're done. I mean, if there's not an engagement of the emotional capacity and how it feels to be a human being with the new culture being born through you, you're not the living attunement that you are designed to be. And attunement, while it is an incredible technique, an incredible healing method, an incredible vibrational way of blessing, it is about the coming forth of the angel. And the coming forth of the angel is the birth of the new culture. And the birth of the new culture is what we're designed for, to be a universal priest or priestess that is allowing a culture to be born because we're present on earth. Right? I mean, this is not like, I'm not like some genius about this. This is the way it is. You know, the 7 days of creation didn't end with the first chapter of the Bible. We are continually generating a new culture, a new world, based on being universal priests and priestesses saying, yes, yes, let's name it this. And then let's see if it lives, and let's name it this. Let's see what's happening. And let's not keep destroying things by trying to force our old culture into the forms that are trying to be born. I've done it, and I am going to say you've probably done it, thinking that we would be happier if we took what was old and we loved and tried to jam it into what's being born right now. I am certain that the majority of addictions in the world are all about that. You know, I've got to get more of what made me happy once. There is research that was done back when I was in, wow, it's going on 30 years probably, when I was studying this, when AIDS was an epidemic in the beginning stages and it was predominantly in the cultures of gay men and drug users. And one of the things they found was it wasn't what they were doing, wasn't about opening up their veins and having men having sex with each other, it was the addiction to not having enough that made them vulnerable, that they kept trying to get more and more out of a form that wasn't sustaining them. And so it made the research showed that there was something in that culture more so than the act itself, even though there was physical things that made it possible for the virus to live, it was sustained and spread more by culture than it was by action. Which I found very interesting because a culture, an addictive culture, which says, give me more, is a death-oriented culture. Give me more of what I think I want because it's already passed away, and if I let go of it, I don't know what I'll have, and I might never be happy again. So give me more. When the new culture is revealing itself, how welcoming are we to it? I have to admit, sometimes I am not very welcoming. No, don't want it, don't want to see what it looks like, I'm afraid, or I like the way it was. But in the centering place of being oriented as a priest or priestess, which is to me the person who holds the holy space, the possibility of the sacred to be known in the human experience, from that place, that current is my lifeblood. It is that which is not just animating me physically, it is what's pouring out of me into my world so my world lives. It's what's causing my world to come to me. It is what is reshaping the space that I once kept as holy. And it is it will not be holy if I keep it in structured form that will not change, is not living. One of the things that religion has done to us is caused us to believe that holy, sacred space is where nothing is happening, where God is just holding the space so that we don't make any mistakes. No sinning, but no nothing. I love the quote from someone, it's my imaginary beings and your imaginary beings all telling us what to do and creating an imaginary culture where nobody really knows what to do, so they do nothing. Or they do something and then feel guilty. You know, one of the things that happened in the Catholic Church was a lot of sexual abuse happened in the Catholic Church. And you know one of the reasons? Because the rules were priests should not have sex with women. So in the consciousness of what was happening was they just didn't even see the dysfunction in what they were doing because it was not in the list of sins. I know that that might not be something that you, a conclusion you would have come to, but I've seen it where it's like you know the rules and then you have all this current moving through you and instead of finding a way for it to be creative, you just do everything you can that's not breaking the rules. And nobody ever said they shouldn't do that. I mean, it wasn't on the list of criteria. I mean, it sounds awful to say it, but it is what the human mind will do, is it will attempt to create out of a culture, to protect a culture that's dead so that it doesn't stir up trouble. Obviously, a lot of trouble got stirred up. So in the holding of sacred space, being the vehicle that allows the clarity and the power of love to move, are we ready to admit that a lot of the things we're doing have no life in them? Are we ready to admit we want more life? I only get a few nods on this. Anybody else want more life? And are we ready to say we're willing to see how that wants to be born through me now? Heck, I changed my spaghetti sauce recipe, and that's a big cultural change. I've been making spaghetti sauce for 53 years, and I changed it. I let life move. I mean, it's a funny example, but I gave someone my recipe, and when I went to their house, there was something about their sauce I liked a little bit better than mine, and I found out what they did differently, and that's what I do now. Don't worry, it's still really good. I believe there was a famous book written called The Birth of a Nation. I'm interested in the birth of the new nation. The new nation where the government is from heaven, from the source of love that I said yes to when I decided to come, and I still say yes to now. To let all the cells of my body come into life fully, to let life move through them and invite life into them and let life out of them.